Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our hymn of the day, the sermon hymn that we just sang, included these words: "In these last days of great distress, grant us, dear Lord, true steadfastness, that we keep pure till life is spent your holy word and sacrament." The days are perilous. We see it surrounding us. There is a great darkness, a shroud of unbelief, a shroud of playing with the demonic, witchcraft, satanic arts. There is a shroud creeping in. Tomorrow, we will remember the anniversary of a man who was shot and killed for being a Christian, for speaking the truth of what God's word teaches about marriage, about male and female, about Jesus Christ. And while in his life he did not have all aspects of theology down as much as I would have appreciated or liked him to, I firmly believe that if we endure in the faith, someday we will see him rejoicing around the throne of his Savior. Yes, tomorrow will be the anniversary of Charlie Kirk's death. Now, the media did its job of lying to you, trying to smear his name left and right to make you believe that he somehow deserved what he got. But if, especially in this last year, you have spent time watching his videos, watching him actually go into places that many of us are too afraid to go to, college campuses, and spending time with people that vehemently disagreed with him because Jesus loved him and them and died for him and them, you will see that he really is coming from a place of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil would have none of it. And when you watched some in our culture celebrate his death, it should have been a wake-up call. Because that shows us that people who believe what we believe on most of what the Bible says are not tolerated in our society. There have been many who have been martyred or killed for confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And there will be many who will continue to be. That's tomorrow, the 1 year anniversary. And on the next day, we will once again, with sad hearts, remember the 25th anniversary of an extremely tragic event as well. One that impacted many of us. 25 years ago, on the 11th, people who confess that Jesus is not the Christ, people who believe that Jesus is a lie, that he is not God, but just some prophet, in order to try to tear apart the Christian fabrics of this country, tried to end lives and ended thousands. 25 years ago on that day, I remember being a junior in high school and watching it on the TVs in the commons between classes. But for many of our young people, this is just history. It has to be taught to them just like I had to be taught about the bombing of Pearl Harbor. But those who lived during that time, it was etched in their brains. For many of you, that event was the assassination of JFK. These things are etched in our brains. But for those who are born after, they have to be taught about it. They have to be taught what the history and the truth is. And in a culture that actively promotes the religion of the people that cut those lives short, or at least according to God's will, in time, we now have a city that has forgotten. We have a city that has elected a mayor that holds to the things that Muslims hold to. We have a nation that quickly sweeps this in, instead of remembering a time when Christians were brought into this country. Lord, help us to remember. Help us to repent. 25 years ago, there was a great swarming of people back to church. Whether they had not been there in years, whether they had not been there in months, there were a ton of people that went back to church because they were reminded of what tragedy is. They were reminded that their lives are not in their hands, but belong to God Almighty, and they returned their whole selves to Him. A year ago, Christian churches throughout our nation saw a plethora of young men return to church, and in some areas, young women with them. We should give thanks to God for that, because they recognized that in our society, they would be cut down for holding what they believe. It is important that we take the words that St. Paul gives us as he gave it to the Corinthians in his second epistle. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? In a society that wants to be multicultural, and by multicultural they mean anybody can have any god that they want and openly support any god or the sacrifices to those gods, we need to remember these words. We are not to be unequally yoked. There is actually a difference between Christ, Christianity, and followers of Jesus Christ than there is of Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius and the religions that were founded by their false gods. There is darkness shrouded in those false gods, and God would tell you to have none of it. Not to let it creep into the lives of your children, not to let it creep into their schools or their society, their communities. We are not to be unequally yoked in this way. In a world that has grown so cold to marriage, it is important that we keep that marriage bed pure, undefiled, and that we wait on the Lord to bring us a Christian spouse, one that will build us up in the faith, one that will pray with us, commune with us, rejoice with us in the waters of holy baptism. For what communion has light with darkness, Christ with Belial, an unbeliever with a believer? God says, I will dwell among them. I will walk with them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That is what Christendom is. And as we forget the beautiful benefits and fruit of Christendom, as we chase our tails around, as demons are ushered in left and right, the time to wake up is already past. It is here. It is upon us. Be awake. Tune into the things of Christ. God separates and He cleanses you, dear church, dear bride, that He has bought and purchased with His blood on the cross. Christ has set you apart, not that you may continue to consume that which is unclean for you, that which is sinful, but that you may reject the things of sin, reject the ill fruits of the flesh, and rather turn to the fruits of the Spirit. Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and Spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a day that brings us closer to paradise. The devil cannot steal our joy as we await the trumpet sound. Do not allow the lies of the devil to shroud you in this. Do not allow the lies of the devil to shroud your children or your grandchildren. They are to be set apart. They are to follow Christ. Find the ways that assist them in doing that. In a world grown cold, in institutions that have grown cold as well. Speak the truth in love. It is good that God raises up Christian men and women, and it is evil when their lives are cut down by the lies of the devil. But all things work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to his purposes, Romans 8. So whether God gives you 80, 90 years on this world, or just 20 to 30 to confess Jesus Christ, glorify God in all your ways, all your doings, and all your words. The church sings. Stay with us, Lord, and keep us true. Preserve our faith our whole life through. Your word alone, our heart's defense, the church's glorious confidence. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.